All right, hey everybody, Pastor Darren here with Pastor Mike for our last sermon recap for the book of Luke.
Yep, sad. I'm sad it's over.
And what are the odds of you saying on Sunday, okay, walking through the book of Luke,
Right.
It's going to happen.
Well, now I don't know what I'm going to preach because I don't have a, you know, Luke, we had a, you know, there's always just whatever was next. So now I guess I got to go and, you know.
I got to work again.
Got to
do some work.
Yeah. I have to be a pastor now.
Well, it's been an amazing series. So to kind of recap these last few weeks, we've walked through the Lord's Supper, the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus' arrest, crucifixion, and burial.
Yep.
And we said these events were not separated by weeks or days. It was just a matter of hours.
Mm-hmm.
So we picked up on the Sunday, Easter Sunday, on this last chapter of Luke, chapter 24, celebrating the resurrection. And in this chapter, we looked at three scenes of the resurrected Jesus revealing himself to, as you said on Sunday, unexpected people.
Mm-hmm.
And the responses are surprising for some and confusing for others. So
yeah.
We picked up after the crucifixion, chapter 24, the Marys go to the tomb bringing spices to anoint the body of Jesus. And they're not going because they think he has resurrected.
Mm-hmm.
Not because they've expected the tomb to be empty, but because they're devoted to Jesus,
mm-hmm.
as you mentioned on Sunday. And you mentioned the disciples who followed Jesus didn't want to be seen. They were hiding out like cowards. But these two ladies,
mm-hmm.
you know, they were not.
They were committed. Yeah. And they, and you see from, I mean, from all the Gospels that share this story is they were committed. They were devoted to Jesus. And they go, it says early in the morning, which would have been as soon as they possibly could get there, you know. And so they are devoted. They love him, and they want to go and prepare his body for final burial. And the disciples hiding out like a bunch of cowards. And you can see from the context of it all. You know, we know the story, so we're used to it, and it's not a we know he wasn't there, but they have zero expectation that he would be alive. Because, and you know, we joke a lot about, or at least I tease a lot about, like, he told you so many times that this was going to happen. And even in the story, he's like, you know, we'll get into it, but he's like, I told you, like, why didn't you believe me? But it's because it had never happened before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is not something that, you know, it's not something that you have context for, because it's outside of your comprehension that somebody would die and be dead for 3 days and then be alive again. Like, that doesn't make sense. You know, we have 2,000 years of knowing the story. So to us, we at least... Yeah, but imagine being there. Like, you would have zero comprehension for this. So it makes sense that they would go, okay, he said this, but what does that even really mean? Was that really? So they go to the tomb having zero expectation that he would be raised from the dead, because that, even that culture didn't believe in that kind of stuff. And so it was just outside of what they would even think, you know.
And that's crazy to think, because, you know, when we hear something over and over and over again, we get kind of numb to it.
Mm-hmm.
And these disciples for 3 years heard him say, you know, I'm going to be resurrected. Yeah. How can you get numb to that, though?
Yeah, yeah, that's true. Well, they're not numb, but they just didn't have comprehension for it.
Yeah, because,
like,
they've never seen.
What does that mean, Jesus resurrected? Like, you know, like, what, you know, so.
So when the Marys arrive, they see the tomb rolled away and an empty tomb. And they're not thinking, again, of a resurrected Jesus. They're thinking maybe the grave has been robbed, or the Romans came
mm-hmm.
and took the body. Mm-hmm. They just didn't know.
Right.
And verse 4, two angels appeared before the tomb, and the Marys were terrified and bowed down.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure I'd bow down. I'd probably run.
Right. Yeah, that would be me too. If my legs would work. I mean, yeah, imagine what that would look like. That would be crazy. It'd be crazy.
And the angels, they have a mic drop line.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, why are you looking for the living among the dead? Yeah. He is not here.
Just
he is risen. We see that all the time,
yep.
But to put that in context.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the angels remind the Marys of what Jesus said would happen,
yep.
And that he would be betrayed, crucified, and rise again on mm-hmm. the third day.
Mm-hmm.
And then after a moment, they remembered what he had said.
Yeah, yeah, that is kind of, that line is just beautiful. Why are you here? I love that particular, why are you looking for the living among the dead? You're in the wrong spot.
Right.
This is a place where dead people are, and he's not, you know, there's no Jesus here. It's like you said Sunday about the tomb. We were just talking about it, you know, I've seen the tomb. He's not there. You know, like, that's where dead people are, and Jesus wasn't dead. So they're like, yeah, like we were saying earlier, he, just as he said, that's the key line, right?
Yeah. So the women, they run back and they told the other women along with the disciples. And the disciples, the ones who followed him, the ones who saw the miracles firsthand, the ones who he told he would rise again from on the third day, were like, you guys are crazy.
Yeah.
This is nonsense.
Seemed like nonsense to them. Yeah.
Let me go back to hiding because I should be hiding anyway.
Yeah. These guys, they're not looking good, man. These disciples, they're in hiding. And then the two women who are actually devoted to Jesus, they don't even believe him.
Yeah.
And you're just like, which, you know, this is kind of out of not taking a little turn, but one reason why the gospel story is so credible is because it wasn't credible for women to be the one to figure this out. You know, like back in, at this time in history, a woman's testimony isn't even admissible in court. And so the fact that it was two women who first discovered that Jesus was alive speaks to show that we can trust the story, because if somebody was writing this up to trick you or writing it up to manipulate,
they
or
would not put that in there.
The last thing they would do is that it would be women, right. Absolutely, because no one would believe that, and mm-hmm. you know, well, a woman said it didn't matter, right? And so, so that really speaks to the fact that we can trust this account, because, you know, like you said, they would never have chosen two women to be the first people to discover that Jesus was alive, and you see that even in the disciples' response to the women was whatever, you know what you're talking about, and maybe they should have listened.
Yeah. I heard this one pastor say, well, women were the first to ever preach about the resurrection.
That's good. Yeah, I like that. I like that. Yeah. Yeah. Be careful.
Yeah.
Be careful. That's good.
So then our road dog, Peter, the one we talked about last week, was like, let me see this for myself. So he runs to the tomb and he saw it for himself and was amazed at what happened.
Yep.
And this is the same Peter that cut off the ear of the soldier coming to arrest Jesus.
Yep.
But this is also the same Peter that denied knowing him three times. Mm-hmm. And in all this, response was to run to the tomb and see it for himself. Mm-hmm. And like you said Sunday, Peter understands the heart of Jesus. He's not like, oh man, he's going to get me.
Yeah.
because I denied him.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Because Peter, I mean, you think about how we are. We mess up or we fall short. And one thing we often want to do is we want to just run from Jesus. And,
oh, Jesus, I'm out of here, man.
Yeah.
Peter,
yeah.
That would be Peter.
Yeah. 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 Like, I don't want to see him.
He's really? I'm out of here, man.
Yeah. The last time we saw Peter was he denied Jesus three times. It says Jesus looked at him and then he went out and wept bitterly. Like, mm-hmm. I wouldn't be looking forward to seeing Jesus if I'm Peter. And yet he runs to him because he has hope again. You know, it's the everything that I, you know, that feeling of, oh man, I've just ruined everything. I've messed up. I'm, you know, and it has a chance to be healed in some way. And he knows that the resurrection of Jesus would mean that for him. And that's beautiful.
So what's that first takeaway? Or what's the takeaway from this first account that we just mentioned here? What do you?
Well, from that,
I kind of just mentioned it.
Yeah. Run to Jesus. Yeah. Run, trust the women. Yeah. First of all, trust the people who are actually devoted to Jesus. And then, be like Peter.
All right. Then we move to a different scene, verse 13, the road to Emmaus.
Mm-hmm.
And this was the same day that this happened. Two of the disciples were on the road to Emmaus, just talking and arguing about all the events that had taken place.
Mm-hmm. And I imagine them arguing because they're going, maybe one of them thinks he's resurrected, and one of them believes the Romans stole his body. So they're maybe debating and going back and forth about
who's right.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
And while they're talking, Jesus rolls up on them and starts walking with them.
Yeah.
Some random dude
just walks up on you.
You know, I never saw this before until you mentioned on Sunday and you explained it, but they were prevented from recognizing him.
Yeah.
So God was not allowing them to recognize him.
Yeah.
I'd never seen that
before.
Isn't
that interesting?
Yeah. And Jesus asked him, what are you disputing about? What are you guys talking about?
Yeah.
And they answer him, you know, like, where have you been, bro?
Yeah, it's like sarcastic. Yeah, it's like, dude, are you not? Yeah. Hello? Have you been
a visitor?
What, have you been under a rock for 3 days?
Where have you been? All these things that happen and you don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
And Jesus is like, what are these things that's happening?
Yeah, I love it.
Tell me.
Like, fill me in, would you? Please. I would love to learn.
And what's funny is what you said on Sunday, the angels in heaven are probably cracking up. Oh, this is going to be
good. Yeah, like, watch this. Gabriel, here he goes. Look.
And then they proceed to tell him all the things that has happened. And I could imagine Jesus is like, you know, really? Wow, that's amazing.
They did what? What? And then they did what? And then,
tell me more.
Wow, that's messed up.
Then Jesus is like, you foolish. You fools.
He said, how foolish you are and slow to believe all that the prophets have told you. Like, that's that'll preach right there.
And then Jesus breaks down all the scriptures concerning himself.
Yeah.
And what did you mention about Moses? You mentioned
He says Moses, you know, he basically says it was written about Moses, the prophets and the Psalms. And a lot of times in scriptures, when they refer to Moses or the law of Moses, they're talking about the first five books of the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. And so it just can be confusing sometimes when you say, you know, everything about, you know, he began to break down everything about Moses. And you're like, what does Moses and the Red Sea have to do with this? But he's referring to the Pentateuch, first five books of the Bible that so much of talks about the coming Savior. And so that's what that means.
So he breaks down the Old Testament prophesying about himself.
Yeah, exactly. He's like all the, and he explains to them, you know, all of these things that the Bible prophesied about would happen. And here it is. You got to be your witnesses of it. You got to see it. And so essentially the idea is what he said Sunday was that he breaks down for them that this was not plan B. That seeing Jesus die on the cross and wasn't God up in heaven going, oh man, what are we going to do? Like, I did not see it going this way, right? But God's going, no, this was the plan. This was how I was going to pay for the forgiveness of sins, you know?
So Jesus basically says the same things the angels told Mary. Mm-hmm. Didn't I say this was going to happen? Mm-hmm. This was, like you said, this was the plan all along.
Exactly. The whole of Scripture testifies about this, essentially. And so he breaks it down for them how the Bible testified about it.
That's good. And then Jesus acts like he's going to continue traveling on, and they ask him to stay for a meal. And then he took bread and broke it among the disciples, and all of their eyes were opened and recognized him. Wait, Jesus?
Wait a minute. Yeah.
That's really you?
Imagine that. Yeah. Like, what?
And like you said on Sunday, he even in all of that, he still takes time to reveal himself and fellowship with them.
Yeah, I love he wasn't just like the idiot. Well, because it says before over there, he pretended like he was going to go on further.
Yeah.
And so he's still messing with them because you're like,
oh, you want me to come back?
Yeah. Oh, sure. I'll come hang out for sure. I guess so.
I guess.
That's all his plan. He's all intended, you know? And so I love that because you see Jesus just, I don't know if it's humor or like messing around or whatever, but just to think of Jesus pretending like he's going to keep on walking just to get them to invite him to come hang out with them. You know, it's kind of like, you know, going over to your buddy's house and they're about to have dinner and you're like, well, I guess I'll go. Don't really have any food at the house.
I'm going to go to the drive-thru on my way home.
Yeah, maybe pick something up. Oh, you want me to stay for dinner? Sure.
I guess.
Yeah, I guess
thanks
I would.
Asking.
Yeah, exactly. So it kind of feels like that a little bit. But then he takes time and he says he breaks bread and, you know, reveals himself to him, and that's relational, you know, and it's pretty cool.
Yeah. And then he leaves them, and then the two disciples travel 7 miles back to Jerusalem and tell the other 11, hey, this is what just happened.
Right.
And as they were describing what happened, Jesus appeared and stood in the midst of them and saying, peace be with you.
Yeah. What's up, guys?
And they were fearful. They thought they were seeing a ghost, and Jesus asked them, why are you doubtful? Mm-hmm. Look at my hands. Look at my feet. Touch me. I'm not a ghost. Mm-hmm. Ghosts don't have flesh and bones.
Yeah.
They were shocked and amazed.
Yeah.
And Jesus is then like, you know, I've been through a lot these few days. And, you know, crucifixion takes a lot.
Maybe some food would be good.
Can you guys hook me up with
them? And they make him some fish.
Get some fish.
Yeah.
So what are we to take from this second account?
Especially
because that line, last line there about I bring peace.
Well, that would be the third account you're talking about, or the second one was the Emmaus disciples.
Okay.
Which one? Yeah. So the second, well, at least for the Emmaus disciples part, for me, it's continuing that idea of this was prophesied about, this was spoken beforehand, this was part of the plan, but then also just Jesus as he revealed, spending time to reveal himself to these two men, you know, to take the time relationally to spend time with them and fellowship with them and be with them. And then about the I bring peace idea is that, you know, you think of these disciples, again, it's like Peter earlier who ran to the tomb. You have these disciples who are in hiding, we've been calling them cowards because that's what they're showing themselves to be in the moment. And, you know, we joked about Sunday that if that was me, because I'm petty, you know, I'd be going up and be like, oh, hey, guys, what you doing hiding? Or, you know, the joke Sunday was to Peter, you recognize me now? Remember me now, Peter? You know, but instead he says, I bring peace. Hmm. And that's who our God is. When he shows up, you know, he brings peace. And so that's what he does in this moment, is he didn't walk in and shame them or, you know, embarrass them or even condemn them. He brings peace to them, and then he reveals himself to them. He shows himself to them.
Yeah.
So it's really, it's awesome.
So no matter how much we've messed up, like these disciples, and lack faith and doubt, when Jesus arrives, he brings that peace. And these men were hiding from him, denying him. But when we encounter him, he brings that peace.
Amen. Yeah.
Jesus then reminds them of the words spoken that he spoke to them about his death and resurrection. And he reminds them of all these things that took place or going to take place for repentance, forgiveness of sins to all nations, starting right here in Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. And this was his plan all along. This was his purpose and his meaning. Yeah. And it started in Jerusalem. But the plan and the purpose was for all nations, and that includes
us. Yeah.
And after all the doubt of denials, Jesus still believes in these disciples and gives them one last job.
Yep.
And that is to take the message of hope to all of the world.
Yep.
And Jesus ascends into heaven, and the disciples are transformed forever, and the gospel is spread to all the nations.
Amen.
It's just a beautiful book, beautiful story. Yeah. So,
and now we're beneficiaries of that.
Yeah, we're beneficiaries of that. So this being the longest series you've done as a pastor, how has this series impacted you, just kind of studying through it? And when we hear this message from Luke, should we respond, or how should we respond?
Yeah, well, the way we should respond is because in all three, you know, when it was the two women, two Marys, the angel said, you know, why are you here? He's risen just as he said. It's what he told us. You know, he chose the Emmaus disciples. This was written about all in Scripture. You know, why didn't you believe? You know, how foolish you are. Goes to the disciples. Guys, I told you this would happen. The big takeaway for me from Sunday was that we just have to believe Jesus. Mm-hmm. You know, believe his words, believe that he's true, put our faith and trust in him, regardless of how we feel. Feelings are liars often, and they trick us. So we have to be founded on truth, and the truth is found in Jesus' words. Mm-hmm. And so we have to trust his word, that it's true and faithful. We have to trust that, we have to put our faith in him above all things. And so that was the big takeaway for me Sunday, was that we just have to believe Jesus. And that's the foundation, and then everything else builds from there. But yeah, as far as the series, we've been in Luke for 19 months. We started in August of 2022, I think. Yeah, August of 2022. Yeah. And is that right? Yeah. And so, it's been the longest series we've done before was probably about 6 months. And so that one was a really long one. When we started out Luke, one thing we talked about a lot was this is either going to go really well or really poorly. Because if you announce you're going to go through Luke and then you get in for a couple weeks and you're like, this is not going well,
we're
in trouble. Yeah. But man, it was a good journey. And it's been a good journey for me personally, just studying it and learning and growing as a pastor because there's a lot of things in Luke that, you know, I had to sit up there and go, hey, this one's a hard one. But it's here, and so we got to talk about it. And we had several weeks of those where it was like, this is a hard message that Jesus gives us, but we have to talk about it. And I think that's such a benefit to us as a church because it means that we talk about the hard things that Jesus talks to us about, when oftentimes it's easy to avoid those things. You know, when we're just kind of not walking through a book of the Bible, you can kind of pick and choose, and we'll talk about this and we'll talk about this. And,
I'm going to avoid the repentance part. Let's move on to the next.
I mean, but for real, let's avoid these hard things. I mean, there's even, you know, there's sin. We talked about, there's stuff about money we had to deal with. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things in there that were just idolatry, and it just like, the hard things. And we dealt with them. We talked about them. And I think as a church and followers of Jesus, we're better for wrestling with those things. And so I know I am, you know, as just an individual who had to study them, you know. And so I've loved it, man.
Yeah,
I've loved it. And I'm sad that it's over, because I've enjoyed it so much.
But I'm excited about the next series. You know, the hard things, Jesus do hard things as the series. And the idea was, you know, at the beginning of this year, felt God calling us really to two things. One, as a church, because we've grown so much in the last couple years, really being connected as a body of believers. And as we grow, being connected in community groups and relationships and serving together. And then the second part of that is calling us to, like, what is the hard thing that God's calling you to do? And so, you know, the thing that we've been avoiding, or the thing we don't want to tackle, or the thing that, hey, maybe there's an area in our lives that God wants to address and we've been avoiding it. And the feeling for me going into 2024 was, it's time to deal with it. So let's go, church, you know? And so we're going to have this series called Do Hard Things. We're going to talk about just some hard things that Jesus asked us as followers to do. But I'm really excited about it. I think there's some really good things in there that, I think it's gonna be good.
So I'm excited.
I'll just leave it at that. I don't want to give too much away, but.
And that was gonna be my next question, if you want to give us a sneak peek, but you just did.
Yeah. That was it right there. That was your sneak peek. Yeah.
Well, for me, I just want to tell you, just an amazing series, the Book of Luke. And for me, the biggest takeaway, I was thinking about this morning, is that everything God does, there's a purpose behind it, and everything is leading us back to Him.
Amen.
From beginning to end, from the beginning of Luke to the end, it all led to Him.
Amen.
So it was really good. So, all right, I want to thank you all for joining us over the last 19 months as we walked through the Book of Luke. And I hope you were inspired to know God more deeply. I hope you found freedom through His Word, and we pray God revealed to you His purpose for your life. And we pray you use that purpose to make a difference. God bless you, and we will see you next week.